Welcome to the Nations Church Port Kennedy podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
Amazing. Well, I've got a word to share with you today that I pray will encourage all of the mums in the room, but will encourage all of us to go deeper in the things of God and to live our lives for Him. So let's just pray one more time and then we'll get into the word. God, we thank you. We thank you for your presence that's already here. We thank you that you're alive and that you're moving in your people. And we declare to you today, God, we didn't come here just to say we did church, but we came to have an encounter with you. So we come with faith, we come with expectation, and we come with our heart that desires for you to speak to us and to move in our lives that we would leave different to how we came in. And that is our prayer in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Wonderful. Thank you, band. Well, we're going to get straight into the Word of God. Are you ready? We're going to go to Genesis chapter 22, and we're going to read an account from Scripture about a man called Abraham and his son called Isaac. And we're going to start from verse 1. It says, sometime later, God tested Abraham's faith. Abraham, God called. Yes, he replied, here I am. Take your son, your only son, yes, Isaac, whom you love so much, and go to the land of Moriah. Go and sacrifice him as a burnt offering on one of the mountains, which I will show you. And let's go down to verse 6. So Abraham replaced the wood for the burnt offering on Isaac's shoulders while he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them walked together, Isaac turned to Abraham and said, Father. Yes, my son, Abraham replied. We have the fire and the wood, the boy said, but where is the sheep for the burnt offering? God will provide a sheep for the burnt offering, my son, Abraham answered, and they both walked on together. Then they came to the place of which God had told them, and Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order, and he bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand. He took a knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham, and he said, here I am. And he said, do not lay your hand on the lad nor do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you've not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Then Abraham lifted his eyes and he looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and he offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called this place, the Lord will provide. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord, it shall be provided. Today I'm going to speak to you on this thought, the Lord will provide. The Lord will provide. I actually have a bit of a love-hate relationship with that statement. And let me tell you why, because, you know, if you've ever going through a difficult season in your life, I don't know if you've ever done this, and you've gone to a Christian friend, and then you've poured your heart out to them about how difficult your season is, how stretching it's been, how desperate you are for a breakthrough or release of the pressure, and then your friend says this statement to you, the Lord will provide. and usually followed by statements like this, just give it to Jesus. Or God won't give you more than you can handle. Or my all-time favorite, everything happens for a reason. And while all of our Christian friends are well-intentioned, these words can be cold comfort when you are in the middle of a situation where you are desperately needing God to do something. And you know what, as mothers, there's always going to be some area of life where we are crying out to God to provide. Let's be real, sometimes there's areas of life where we're just plain crying, right? Just plain crying. But whether you are in the throes of nappies and tantrums or homework and arguments or the season of raising teenagers and having to let go just a little, or you have adult children who are making their own way in the world, We will always be in need as mothers, won't we? We're always going to be in need of God's wisdom, of his courage, his unconditional love, his patience, his grace, his strength. And then there's practical needs like finances and relationships and time. And for all the young mothers out there with young children, did anyone say sleep? We all need more sleep. And we know, and we also know that it doesn't matter who you are, whether you're a mother or not, we all need God to reveal himself to us as our provider, to do like he did for Abraham and provide the ram in the thicket, whether it's a relationship you're believing for, or it's a healing that you need, or work, or you're needing to find your way through your years of study, or you're needing God to restore your soul. We all have desires for God to meet us in our hour of need. And yet most of us are like the rest of us in that we will find ourselves in times and seasons, perhaps where we've been stretched to our limit, perhaps where we are in desperate need and we haven't seen God move. Or perhaps you're in a season like that right now and you're still waiting for him to meet you in that need. You're still waiting for him to provide that job or that finances or that solution, and it feels like there's no way out. There's no voice of God talking from heaven. There's no ram in the thicket. And yet we see God do this for Abraham and reveal himself as provider when he has this desperate need. Now, we see the paradox of this situation. It's not lost on us, right? Abraham's son Isaac was only in existence because of the miracle-working power of God. Abraham and his wife Sarah had not been able to conceive a child, and in their old age, after decades of prayer and holding firm to their faith in the promises of God, Isaac was finally born. And now, when he's a young man, God asks Abraham to give him up. Abraham's obedience seems to be leading him to lose the very thing that God had given him. And yet throughout the account, we don't see Abraham questioning or faltering or complaining. He just gets up, takes his son, and makes his way to the mountain. He seems to act against every human instinct to hold tightly to that which we cherish. And he is so willing to surrender his son at God's request. And we know this instinct as mothers, don't we? It's the one that makes it so hard to not intervene when your child is going through that hard time. And instead, you want to side with them against that teacher or that brat that they're not getting along with. It's the instinct that makes it so hard to trust God with their future. It's the instinct that makes it so hard to let them experience the consequences of their actions. It's that instinct that makes it so hard to let them try things on their own or to trust them to make their own choices. And this goes beyond motherly instinct. We all have things that we struggle to surrender to God, don't we? Like that business or that career that you've invested your heart and soul into for years, or that relationship you now have that you once desperately desired, or that dream that you have of pursuing your passion professionally, or that lifestyle that you've worked so hard to build. And so can I suggest to you today that Abraham knew something about God that we need to know, both as mothers and as followers of Jesus Christ. And that is this, that surrender creates the context in which God can reveal himself as provider. And I'm not talking about the kind of surrender where you wave the white flag and you give up after you've tried every single thing that you could do in your strength, when you and ChatGPT have run out of ideas and there's nothing else that you can do. I'm not talking about that kind of surrender. You see, Abraham shows us that true surrender is not born of defeat, but it's born of faith. You see, Abraham knew what true surrender was. In Hebrews 11, 19, it tells us that Abraham had reasoned that if Isaac died, God was able to bring his son back to life again. You see, Abraham surrendered to God's plans because he trusted God's promise that through Isaac would come more descendants than he could count. Abraham did not surrender Isaac because he understood how God would provide. He surrendered Isaac because he understood who God was. You see, Abraham's ability to surrender in that moment revealed Abraham's relationship to the Lord. When you are willing to surrender your child, when you're willing to surrender your parenting, your marriage, your health, your home, the future of your family, your future spouse, your studies, your career, when you are willing to surrender it all to Jesus rather than to take it in your own hands, rather than to needing to know all the detail of how God is going to work it out, when you surrender to Him completely, you are actually declaring by the posture of your heart who you believe God to be. You are declaring who you believe God to be. You see, your act of surrender does not produce faith. It reveals it. It reveals who you believe God to be. Surrender is the posture that you take when you trust God more than you trust yourself. And it is in this context of surrender that you make a way for God to show Himself to you, to be the God that you believe Him to be. So let's take the next few minutes to look at how surrendering to Jesus creates a context for God to provide. The first one is this: surrendering helps you to hear. It helps you to hear. If you're a believing mother or grandmother here today, or you're simply a believer, you need to know that being able to hear from God is your inheritance as a follower of Jesus. We've looked at this in our Connects, and we're looking at this this week in our Connect groups about what it means to be able to hear from God. And in John 10:27, Jesus says this of Himself. He says, "My sheep listen to My voice. I know them and they follow Me." In this passage, Jesus refers to Himself as the Good Shepherd, and His followers are His sheep. If you are a follower of Jesus today, you are His sheep. you can leave the sound effects till later. But back in Jesus' day, shepherds would not herd sheep from behind. Instead, they would walk in front, calling the sheep to follow Him. And scholars would say that each sheep would know the unique sound of their shepherd's voice. So much so that at night, when the shepherds would bring all their herds of sheep together and place them in one large pen so that they were safe for the evening, and then in the morning, when the shepherds came back to the pen, they would be able to call their sheep and their own flock would follow His voice out of the pen. The shepherd would use His voice to lead them to fields where they could eat. He would take them to places where they could drink, and if they were in danger, His voice would lead them to safety. The sheep stayed in tune to their shepherd's voice because it was a sound that they could trust. And in Genesis 22:11, we see that Abraham has this posture towards God's voice. Abraham remained in tune with God's voice despite everything that was happening. In verse 11, we see that right in the middle, as he's about to sacrifice his son, the angel of the Lord calls to him from heaven and says, "Abraham, Abraham." And he says, "Here I am." You see, Abraham was in the middle of following God's plan. He did this 3-day journey with Isaac. He went to Mount Moriah. He built the altar. He prepared his son for sacrifice. And then God interrupts what is happening by saying Abraham's name. And I'm sure that Abraham was grateful that he heard God's voice in that moment, because the interruption of God's voice led to the revealing of His provision. You see, God is always speaking, but are we surrendered enough in our own plans to hear and respond to His voice if it interrupts them? We're all on this journey of learning to hear God's voice. We're all on a journey of learning to follow Him, but we don't want to be the kind of people who are so focused on our schedule, so committed to our own plans or the lifestyle we want or the dream we have for our children, or so focused on the challenges in front of us that we are unable to be interrupted by His voice. Or worse still, unwilling to respond to it. I've had those moments, and I'm sure you have too, where I've started to make my own way. I've started to outwork my own plans and suddenly had a sense that this was actually my plan, not God's. Where I'd committed myself or my children to something and I was unwilling to lean into God's voice. I was more concerned with living up to my own expectations or the expectations of someone else, or I was too proud to admit my mistake or to change my decision. And then I wondered why I found myself overstretched or in a situation that was unsustainable. You see, Abraham was able to be interrupted by God because he was more committed to hearing God's voice than he was to outworking the plan. And this is the posture of surrender that makes the way for God's provision, that makes the way for a life that is sustained by the Good Shepherd. When we are mothers who trust God's voice, when we are believers who lean in to the leading of our Good Shepherd way more than we lean into our own plans, because his leading is always going to bring us to life-sustaining places. So surrendering helps us to hear, and surrendering also helps us to see. One of the most well-known verses on being able to spiritually see or spiritual perception is found in Isaiah 43:19. "For I'm about to do something new," writes the prophet. "See, I have already begun. Do you not see it? I will make a pathway through the wilderness. I will create rivers in the dry wasteland." The prophet here is speaking to God's people to tell them that God was at work to provide what they needed. But he warns them they needed eyes to perceive the work. And that warning comes because there was a risk or a possibility in the context that they were in that they would be so focused on their challenges or so focused on their circumstances that they would not be able to see that God was at work. You see, the Israelites, when they received this prophetic word, they were in exile in a completely other nation. They were in what they called captivity in the nation of Babylon, and their homeland was lying in ruins, hundreds of miles away across wasteland. And yet God is speaking to them in this difficult situation, in this dry and barren place, and saying to them, "I'm about to do a new thing. I'm going to do something really good. I'm about to provide a way for you." But the prophet says, "Do you not see it? Don't miss it. Don't miss it in the middle of what you're in." You see, they needed supernatural help to be able to see what God was doing. And this can be one of the most challenging parts of being a mother, right? Because we can so easily look at our moments or our seasons and we can draw conclusions that are far removed from what God is actually doing. You know, it's actually quite hard to see what the Bible tells you about children, that they are a blessing, that they're like arrows in your quiver, that you're raising giants in the faith, and you haven't slept properly for 3 years and you're calling the plumber because they just flushed another toy down the toilet. It can be hard to see that prophecy that someone declared over your child about the great difference they were going to make in the world is going to come to pass, and you just signed off on their third detention slip. It can be hard to see that God has your child's future in hand when they're choosing to do everything but what you raised them to do. It can be hard to see that your family's called to fulfill God's purposes together when you're in a constant state of conflict. And we know this contrast between our reality and God's provision affects everyone. For all of us, there's some area in our lives that is yet to line up with what God says he can do. It's that relationship you're believing for, but it's nowhere in sight. It's that healing that's been prophesied over you, but you're still sick. It's those finances that you need that are so out of your reach. Whatever your situation, we all need to find a way to shift our perception onto what God is doing. And we see Abraham do this in this passage. In verse 13, it says that Abraham lifted his eyes and looked. And there behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and he offered it for the burnt offering. Scripture doesn't tell us how the ram got in the thicket, doesn't tell us how long it had been there. Maybe it had been there the whole time. But in that moment when Abraham lifts his eyes, it becomes apparent that God's provision was unfolding behind the scenes all along, that his provision had always been there. What had changed in that moment was Abraham's perspective. Although he'd not actually sacrificed Isaac, Abraham had completely surrendered him in that moment. He'd built the altar, bound his son, laid him on top, and he'd actually raised the knife. It was pretty much a done deal. And it was only in that moment, after he'd completely surrendered Isaac, that Abraham lifted his eyes and saw what God had been doing all along. As long as Abraham's heart wrestled in that place of obedience and self-preservation, all he could see was the sacrifice. All he could see what was he was about to do. But when the surrender was complete, his eyes were opened to the provision beside him. You know, sometimes it's our fear. Sometimes it's our need for understanding. Sometimes it's our grip on what we want that can blind us to the ways that God is already moving behind the scenes. Faith, you see, is not just about trusting God for provision. Faith is about surrendering our perception of reality long enough to be able to see that he's at work. It's being able to come to God with your child and surrender that child to the Lord again and again and again and again and again until you see his provision come to work in his life. It's about offering that situation that you're facing to God again and again and again, surrendering your questions, surrendering that your need to know all the details until you see God provide. Faith is surrendering our perception of reality long enough to see that he's at work. And this is the posture of surrender that makes way for God's provision. When we're willing to surrender what only we can see, so that we can see what God is doing behind the scenes. And my last point is this. We see that surrendering helps us to hear, surrendering helps us to see. And lastly, surrendering positions you to receive. We see after all this has happened, after the ram in the thicket has been found and it's been laid on the altar and sacrificed, when this all is done, God speaks again. And we're going to pick this up from verse 15. It says, "Then the angel of the Lord called again to Abraham from heaven. This is what the Lord says. Because you have obeyed me and have not withheld even your son, your only son, I swear by my own name that I will certainly bless you. I will multiply your descendants beyond number. Like the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore, your descendants will conquer the cities of their enemies." God lays down the foundation of his provision of the blessing that Abraham was to receive. He says, "Because you have obeyed me and not withheld your son, your only son." Abraham knew that it was in the context of surrender that God's provision was released. He was able to hear what God was doing. He was able to see God was moving. And then in this moment, he was able to receive. He was able to receive the blessing that God had so desired to pour out in his life. And, you know, this was a lesson that I had to learn as a mother. I remember in the early days, I have two amazing boys. They're amazing now and they were amazing back then when they were little. Just a lot noisier, a lot busier. They're amazing. But I struggled as a mum. And I struggled because I just saw everything that happened around my children and everything that happened in my home as an extension of me. And so it had to be just right. It had to be perfect. The things couldn't be out of line, although they mostly probably were. And I tried very hard to control everything. I was highly strung. I was anxious. I was critical. Every little thing could set me off. I was not in a place of being able to lead my family or my children into the presence of God or show them what it meant to walk in his ways. And living in that kind of pattern of life brought me to a place where I felt very low and very dark. And it was in that moment that God spoke to me. And it was almost like he said to me, the impression he laid on my heart, was, why are you holding all of this so tightly? Didn't I give these children to you? Wasn't I the one that created you, brought you together as a couple? Wasn't I the one who provided your home? Wasn't I the one who gave you all of this? Why are you now holding it so tightly? And you see, it was so true. I was holding it so tightly. I wouldn't let anyone in. And I definitely wasn't going to let God in. I was doing it all on my own. And in that moment, it just began a journey of beginning to surrender and beginning to let go more and more and more and more. And allow God to move. Allow God to do what he had always desired to do. You see, the ram was already waiting in the thicket, but I was just holding everything so tightly, I couldn't see it. You see, his voice was speaking from heaven, but I was holding everything so tightly, I couldn't hear it. You see, God wanted to pour blessing out of my life, but I was holding everything so tightly, I couldn't receive it. I hadn't allowed a context to be built around my life that created a way for God to show himself to me as provider, because I hadn't allowed him to. I had to let go. And that's what God's calling us to do today, not just for us as mums, but every person in this place. We've all got things we've got to let go. We've all got things we need to surrender. Maybe for you today, it's a marriage. You've been believing for so long. Today is your day to surrender. Maybe it's your relationship with your kids. Been trying to like manipulate and make things happen, get them in the house or do something, and it's like, no, just surrender them to God. Maybe it's your finances and you're just holding them so tight. You're working yourself to the bone to try and make things line up, but maybe you just need to surrender it to God. See, he has blessing for you. He has provision for you. But we got to let it go. We got to let it go.
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed the message. If you want to know more about our campus, you can go to nationschurch.com/au/Port Kennedy.